Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. California has broken out of its deadly heat wave, but relief did not come before as many as 139 deaths and major damage to crops in the state. Authorities raised their toll of possibly heat-related deaths by more than 30 today to 139. The big increase primarily from Los Angeles County and the Central Valley counties of Merced and Stanislaus, where coroners are struggling to keep up. California's been sizzling in triple-digit temperatures since July 16th. Several cities set records for extended heat waves. More than a million customers lost power in the heat wave in California, largely because of equipment failures. But power regulators were able to avoid the rolling blackouts that marked the state's power crisis of 2000 and 2001. A United Nations human rights group is urging the U.S. to adopt a moratorium on death sentences. The U.N. Human Rights Committee issued a 12-page report on U.S. compliance with the 1966 International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. It is urging the U.S. to restrict the number of death penalty crimes in America. It also says the U.S. needs to determine whether death sentences are being handed down disproportionately to minorities and poor people. The panel says it is concerned by studies that show that is the case. The UN mission in Geneva issued a statement criticizing the report. It says the UN made only tenuous connections between the 66 Covenant and the proposed recommendations. The U.S. ratified that treaty in 1992, but with a number of reservations and its own interpretations of the text. The United Nations today moving to take international observers along the Israeli-Lebanese border out of harm's way. A spokesman says the observers will now move in with the UN peacekeeping force in the area for their protection. Four observers were killed this week in a direct hit on an observation post by an Israeli airstrike. Israel says that was accidental. The UN peacekeeping force has been deployed in a buffer zone between Israel and Lebanon since 1978. Israel has been critical of that force, saying its facilities have sometimes been used for cover by Hezbollah. After a meeting at the White House, George Bush and Tony Blair called for a multinational force for the Middle East. Bush says the UN Security Council will meet to consider a resolution with a framework for the cessation of hostilities on an urgent basis, and they want the multinational force to go into southern Lebanon. This is Air America Radio News.
world stops on Friday, and I start having me a ball. Cause I got a good feeling, and I don't feel no pain at all. Friday's my day.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for joining us tonight. It's about 7 past the hour. We have some lighthearted stuff tonight. We also have some heavy-duty stuff, so stick around, all right? Just fasten your seatbelt. By the way, the drunk and the poodle met today to map out their future plans for death and destruction in the Middle East. So we have, you guessed it, moron sounds on the program a little bit later in the evening. This is making its way around the Internet. I don't know if it really is a quote from Garrison Keillor, but it sounds like something he would write. So here it is. Having been called names, one looks back at one's own angry outbursts over the years. And I recall having once referred to Republicans as hairy-backed swamp developers, fundamentalist bullies, freelance racists, hobby cops, sweatshop tycoons, line jumpers, marsupial moms and aluminum siding salesmen, misanthropic frat boys, ninja ditto heads, shrieking midgets, tax cheats, cheese merchants, cat stranglers, pill pushers, nihilists in golf pants, backed-up Baptists, the grand poobahs of Percodan, mouth breathers, testosterone junkies, and brown shirts and pinstripes. I look at those words now, and cat stranglers seems excessive to me. The number of cat stranglers in the ranks of the Republican Party is surely low, and that reference was hurtful to Republicans and to cat owners. I feel sheepish about it. That's about the closest I've come in the past several days to a chuckle. The Ohio Republican Party has fired one of its religious right staffers for sending what is referred to as inflammatory emails to just about anybody who'll take them, with a suggestion that you forward the emails. They concerned the Democratic candidate for governor, Ted Strickland, the one who's running against Ken Blackwell. Blackwell, of course, being the man who made sure that the election in Ohio was fraudulent enough to give that state's electoral votes to chuckle nuts. Now, the messages, the email messages, were sent to Republicans and their supporters, and the email questioned Ted Strickland's ministerial credentials. He has a degree in divinity, and I believe at one time was a preacher or a minister. The emails also questioned his attitude towards child predators and his wife's sexual orientation. All of that in an email. Now, the guy who did this is named Gary Lankford, L-A-N-K-F-O-R-D. He is a Christian school headmaster, no surprise there, and former head of something called the Ohio Restoration Project. According to the Republican Party state political director in Ohio, Gary Lankford has been relieved of his duties. He was hired by the Republican Party. The Ohio Republican Party hired him to coordinate the Republican Party's outreach to social conservative groups. And one organization, Ohioans for Ken Blackwell, paid him $15,000 during the primary for something called voter contact. The head of Ohio's Republican Party, Bob Bennett, no, not that Bob Bennett, a different one, said yesterday he didn't see Lankford's emails before they went out. Of course not. Now, Lankford, who had worked for the Blackwell campaign, is considered a conservative Christian. He's the headmaster of a Christian school, and the Restoration Project was a politically active conservative Christian group in Ohio. Now, I know what you're thinking, and you know what I'm thinking. You see, this is the reason I hate these people, these so-called Christians, who utterly and absolutely pervert and defile whatever credence you want to give to the historic Jesus and his teachings. These people are scum, and the fact that they do this in the name of their perverted version of their Savior, I can't get my mind around this ever. Just like the situation that I referred to the other day, Susan Smith, the young woman here in the South, in South Carolina, who, for love of her boyfriend, put her kids in the back of her car and let the car roll into a lake and the kids drowned. And she was condemned to an extent that, I'm surprised they didn't storm the jail and drag this woman out and burn her at the stake. But then, of course, it turned out, as it usually does, that Susan Smith had been molested for 15 years by her stepfather, who was on the board of the directors of the South Carolina Christian Coalition and was one of the leading lights in the South Carolina Republican Party. Now, whatever happened to him? Nothing. Nothing. Susan Smith is serving life in prison without the possibility of parole, the last I heard. I don't know if anything has happened to that case on appeal. But in so many of these instances, especially in the South. Now, this didn't happen in the South, the one I'm talking about. Now, this happened in Columbus, Ohio. But it's just horrible to me. It really is, because I was brought up in the Christian faith, and I know what Christianity teaches, and I know how it has been hijacked and perverted and turned into something evil and vile, turned into a death cult. And that death cult is headed by the so-called Christians in the Bush crime family. They are worse than the neocon American Zionists, these death cult Christians. But between the two groups, wow. Wow. The possibility of what is happening in Lebanon has now reached Seattle. That's a definite possibility. You never know in these stories. A man screaming that he was a Muslim American and angry at Israel got his way into the Jewish Federation of Greater Seattle, a building, opened fire. Five people were injured by gunshots. One person was killed. The authorities are investigating whether there's a link between the shooting and the conflict in the Middle East. One of the wounded was described as a 43-year-old woman who was shot in the abdomen. Another one was described as a woman 17 weeks pregnant, reportedly hit in the arm. One of the people in the building said, "We heard this horrible screaming on the floor above us and shots. We didn't know what was happening." The Federation's website describes its mission as, quote, "to ensure Jewish survival and enhance the quality of Jewish life by meeting needs locally in Israel and worldwide," end quote. So, as of this afternoon, one dead and five wounded by gunshots at the Jewish Federation of Greater Seattle. It's appalling, isn't it? Our correspondent in Kenosha, Wisconsin, James, wrote me an email here that I'm going to share with you when we come back after this break, kind of titled "The Anti-Semitic Threat." And he talks about how unfortunate it is that any criticism of Israel is considered anti-Semitic, to the point that, like our emailer said last night, and James adds on today, once criticism starts of Israel, it devolves into criticism of the Jews, which then turns into blatant anti-Semitism, and you have the example of what happened today. And, yeah, I'm going to make the link, of course. To me, it's a chain from this to that to this to that. That's the way I look at things. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Why are we all fighting? Oh, why do we keep on lighting these fires, these bombs? We don't know what's gone wrong. We're getting where we've come from. And all of us.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I've torture-tested my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum in the world's most grueling proving grounds, luxury hotels. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Folks, you owe it to yourself to try the end product of my 40-year obsession, the 8-pound Orrick XL. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. If it's perfect for hotels, it's perfect for you.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. Well, that's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the Internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
I believe that it's very important for people to be to listen. Therefore, I'm a person who does a lot of my work in private.
We were young together. We were on the ball. We did not believe in the writing on the wall. We did our best work in the dark.
21 past the hour.
We would hang together.
James writes, Mike, I would guess that any scan of the radio talk show horizon that locates an open discussion of the Middle East, including criticism of Israel, is most likely to be that rarest of species, a liberal talk show. However, as you said, that criticism will almost certainly be labeled anti-Semitic, and that's unfortunate. The letter from Joy, which you read at the top of the program last night, expressed concern that discussion critical of Israel will bring the anti-Semites out of the woodwork. And those fears are certainly valid. And while I wouldn't say there are no liberals who are anti-Semitic, I believe the broad brush approach to combating anti-Semitism is a detriment to the support of Israel, in that it risks alienating allies while providing cover for those who are truly the enemies of Israel and the Jews, no matter where they live. For example, on August 26th, coming in Wisconsin, there is an anti-immigration demonstration scheduled to take place on the steps of the state capitol in Madison. The organization behind the rally is the National Socialist Movement, but the truth hiding behind the name is, in fact, an American Nazi group. For those with strong stomachs, you can Google the name and visit their website to discover the hate fueling this group for yourself. If you're wondering why the Nazis would choose the liberal city of Madison, it's as plain as the conservative face on your TV screen. They assume that the state which gave the nation James Sensenbrenner and his racist immigration legislation would be a friendly environment for their agenda. Well, they're wrong. There is a coalition of groups coming together to mount a counter-protest that will send the message to the Nazis that their hate is not welcome here. All listeners interested in joining our nonviolent response are welcome and could visit the Milwaukee Indie Media website for links to more information. That address is mke.indymedia.org. But these are the true anti-Semites who find common ground with conservatives in America. And they are emerging from the so-called can of worms that Joy mentioned in her letter. While baseless charges of anti-Semitism are fired at good people, groups like the National Socialist Movement and others like them operate below the radar. As for myself, I have participated in two demonstrations in support of Lebanon, Palestine, and Iraq, where I've had the word anti-Semite literally screamed at me, while simultaneously pledging my support to join the coalition of anti-racist and anti-fascist groups in Madison and Milwaukee to pull Wisconsin's welcome mat out from under the National Socialist jackboots. I was born and raised in this state. I'm a graduate of the University of Wisconsin, Madison. I've raised my son here, and I'll be damned if the Nazis are going to hijack the symbol of our state government to legitimize their doctrine of hate. Mike, there's no group of people that I hate, not even the National Socialists. It's the doctrine of blind, violent hatred to which I must stand in opposition. Isn't that what liberals do? Sincerely, James in Kenosha. If you want information, go to mke.indymedia.org. The phone number here is 866-303-2270. We're going to touch on what Krugman wrote today in Paul Krugman in the New York Times. He's got one more piece of depressing news. A few days ago, the Harris Poll reported that 50% of Americans now believe that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction when we invaded. That's up from 36% in February 2005. Up! And meanwhile, 64% still believe that Saddam Hussein had strong links with al-Qaeda. What does it take? Krugman goes on to say, at one level, this shouldn't be at all surprising. The people now running America never accept inconvenient truths long after facts they don't like have been established. Whether it's the absence of any wrongdoing by the Clintons in the Whitewater affair or the absence of weapons in Iraq, the propaganda machine that supports the current administration is still at work, seeking to flush those facts down the memory hole. Here's how the process works. First, if the facts fail to support the administration position on an issue, you know, like stem cells or global warming or tax cuts or income inequality or Iraq, officials in the Bush administration simply refuse to acknowledge the facts. Sometimes the officials simply lie. More often, however, they bob and weave. Consider, for example, Condoleezza Rice's response a few months ago when pressed to explain why the administration always links the Iraq war to 9/11. She admitted that Saddam, quote, as far as we know, did not order September 11, may not have known of September 11, end quote. Now notice how her statement, while literally true, nonetheless seems to imply both that it's still possible that Saddam ordered 9/11 and that he probably did know about it. Eh? Anyway, she goes on, but that's a very narrow definition of what caused September 11th, end quote. And meanwhile, for the people who listen to Fox News and Rush Limbaugh, it all makes perfect sense. We'll be right back.
Hesitate, lose control, and you will sink. Think fast, think for yourself. What the world, but you won't know because it is so. It's so full of greed because it is so. It's so, so much need for independence, solidarity, unity, and prosperity.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036. soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
I'm gonna leave the city, got to get away. All this buzzing and fighting, man, you know I sure can't stay.
26 before the hour. Just a couple more comments here on Krugman's column today. Paul Krugman in the New York Times. He is bemoaning the fact that an uptick in the number of people who believe that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction is up to 50% now. This is a few days ago. Back in 2005, it was at 36%. Now, also 64% still believe that Saddam had strong-leashed al-Qaeda. And, of course, this is the fault of the media. There's no question about it. There are those who are in media in its various forms, like the pig man, Limbaugh, and his butt boy, Sean Hannity. And then you have Fox News Channel, which is nothing more than a propaganda machine, and certain people on MSNBC. And, oddly enough, it's been happening, certain people on CNN. ABC, CBS, and NBC, they're still not blatant about it. But anyway, Krugman talks about his questions about how people who get their news from Fox or listen to the pig man, what their concept of reality must be. He says, many of my and he gets letters telling him what that concept of reality is. He says, many of my correspondents are living in a world in which the economy is better than it ever was under Bill Clinton, and where newly released documents show that Saddam really was in cahoots with Osama. And the discovery of some decayed 1980s vintage chemical munitions vindicates everything the administration said about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. Now, of course, the point Krugman is making is how just how willfully ignorant, how willing we are to be jerked around by Fox, by CNN, by MSNBC, by Limbaugh's butt boy, by all of the, it's astonishing. He goes on to say, some of my correspondents have even picked up on claims that the Bush administration actually did a heck of a job after Katrina. How do people do that? And he closes by saying, the fact is, the Bush administration continues to be remarkably successful at rewriting history. For example, Bush has repeatedly suggested that the United States had to invade Iraq because Saddam wouldn't let UN inspectors in. His most recent statement to that effect was only a few weeks ago, and he gets away with it. If there have been any reports by major news organizations pointing out that that is not at all what happened, I've missed them, Krugman writes. Yeah, we mentioned that on this program. It's astonishing. The press just sits there like a bunch of robots and lets him say things like that. And, of course, Bush, being the half-wit that he is, probably believes it. Krugman says it's all very Orwellian, of course, but when Orwell wrote of, quote, a nightmare world in which the leader or some ruling clique controls not only the future but the past, close quote, Orwell was thinking of totalitarian states. Who would have imagined, Krugman asks, that history would prove so easy to rewrite in a democratic nation with a free press? Yeah. And that's the point of his column today. It's just frightening. Speaking of chuckle nuts, he was meeting with Blair today. Tony came across the big pond to do George and to let George know that Tony's constituents back in the motherland are starting to get scratchy and antsy about the continuing slaughter in Lebanon by the Israelis. And the poodle wants the psycho to do something, to rein in the Israeli military. So that's why they're together. Now, after their pithy statements and disturbing announcement that something called international forces are going to enter this latest conflict, and that's odd because no one has signed up to do that. It probably means more U.S. troops into the meat grinder. Chuckle nuts Took a break from bill signing to pet his poodle today and stammer out some anti-Hezbollah rhetoric while explaining to the weary audience why U.S. troops will soon be marching into Beirut. The reporter says, Mr. President, with support apparently growing among the Arab population, both Shia and Sunni, for Hezbollah, it's growing by bounds. Is there a risk that every day that goes by without a ceasefire will tip this conflict into a wider war? And when Secretary Rice goes back to the region, will she have any new instructions, such as meeting with Syrians?
Her instructions are to work with Israel and Lebanon to get to come up with an acceptable UN Security Council resolution that we can table next week. And secondly, it's really important for people to understand that terrorists are trying to stop the advance of freedom, and therefore it's essential that we do what's right, not necessarily what appears to be immediately popular. There's a lot of suffering in Lebanon because Hezbollah attacked Israel.
What? When did Hezbollah attack Israel? Oh, never mind. Don't go crazy, Malloy. Forget about it. Forget about it. These people want war. The Bush crime family, the neocons, the American Zionists, they want war. They want destruction. The Christian Zionists are lusting for war. They want as much bloodshed as possible because in their twisted, sick minds, you see, that will appeal to Jesus or God or somebody. Somebody in their pantheon of freaks will be just incredibly grateful, you know, of all the human sacrifice, and will step out of the clouds and slide down this bloody wet mountain of dead bodies and land on earth and then rapture up the freaks into a funnel that has a big U-turn in it that takes them all straight to hell. They don't tell you that. Hezbollah attacked Israel. And I don't think any reporter there, this is exactly what Paul Krugman was talking about. Did any reporter there say, Mr. President, that's not what happened? Next soundbite here, Raisin Brain continued to answer the reporter's question about the danger of escalation and Mideast violence since Condi's shoe shopping jaunt to Rome was a miserable failure. And as far as Syria, when he says, when the question was asked, you're going to talk to Syria, wasn't it Bush? Wasn't it the half-wit with an open microphone, his mouth stuffed full of buttered rolls? Wasn't he whining in Russia the other day to Tony? Why doesn't the president of Syria get on the phone and tell him to stop? Why don't you get on the phone, you moron? Anyway, Raisin Brain continues to answer the reporter's question.
Isn't it interesting that when Prime Minister Omar starts to reach out to President Abbas to develop a Palestinian state?
What?
Militant Hamas creates the conditions so that, you know, there's crisis, and then Hezbollah follows up. Isn't it interesting as a democracy takes hold in Iraq that Al-Qaeda steps up its efforts to murder and bomb in order to stop the democracy?
Isn't it interesting that you don't know the difference between outside terrorists and Iraqi insurgents who are fighting the American invaders and have nothing to do with Al-Qaeda? Isn't it interesting that you don't have any idea, apparently, of all the Palestinians who have been kidnapped and are sitting rotting in Israeli jails with no charges filed against them? No, that wouldn't matter to you, chuckle nuts, because that's what you do. You put people in prisons without charges, without access to attorneys, without a chance to rebut whatever charges are leveled against them. You do that. So why would you care if Israel does it? It's unbelievable. Did any reporter stand up to him? Not that I'm aware of. However, one brave British reporter asked this kind of impertinent question about looking at the conflict from a Lebanese perspective. The reporter says, Mr. President, you spoke of having a plan to rebuild houses in Lebanon. Wouldn't the people of Lebanon rather know when you're going to tell the Israelis to stop destroying houses? And you've talked of having a plan today. But isn't the truth that you and the Prime Minister believe that Israel is on the right side in the war on terror, and you want them to win this war, not to stop it?
Look, we care deeply about the people whose lives have been affected in Lebanon, just like we care deeply about the people whose lives have been affected in Israel. There's over a million people in Israel that are, you know, are threatened by this consistent rocket attack coming out of Lebanon.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, we want to help people rebuild their lives, absolutely.
Yeah, look at Katrina.
We also want to address the root causes of the problem.
Yeah, look at Katrina.
The root cause of the problem is you've got Hezbollah that is armed and willing to fire rockets into Israel.
Oh, really?
A Hezbollah, by the way, that I firmly believe is backed by Iran and encouraged by Iran. We've made it clear that we care about wanton destruction.
We love it!
On the other hand, in my judgment, it would be a big mistake not to solve the underlying problems.
Otherwise,
everything will seem fine, and then you'll be back at a press conference saying, how come you didn't solve the underlying problems?
It's so funny. Hezbollah, by the way, that I firmly believe is backed by Iran and encouraged by Iran. He says, watch out, Iran. We're coming for you next. Hand over your oil. terrorists, and there will be any trouble. We made it clear that we care about wanton destruction. Yeah, we love it. It makes Rummy salivate. And makes Cheney just get all, just has to reach for his nitro and his digitalis and eventually for his zapper machine. We love it. Violence, death, destruction. We don't care if it's Jew or Muslim. We want to see them all die. We want the oil. And then, of course, you know, Jesus will come back.
Sweet summer and hot fires in the cold. This kind of life makes that violence unthinkable. We'd like to play hockey, have kids and grow old. Fighters!
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Pet owners praise it. The hotel staff loves it. Parents rave about it. Allergy sufferers applaud it. Senior citizens are agog about it. Now it's your turn. Hi, I'm David Orrick. Everybody's singing the praises of my 8-pound Orrick XL because it's the best vacuum that ever touched their floors. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
leadership seem orderly? When one man makes all the decisions, there is no need for negotiation or compromise.
It's about 9 before the hour. Here's yet another clip from Chuckle Nuts that you might want to put into the, oh my God, he doesn't get the irony of his own statement file. Reporter says, thank you, Mr. President. On the issue of a multinational force, what shape should it take? Who should lead it? Who should be part of it? And also, should Hezbollah agreeing to it be a precondition for setting up the force?
In terms of the troops, that's what the meeting Monday is going to be about. And this is one of these issues that requires international consensus. People will put forth ideas, and we'll participate in terms of trying to help develop a consensus about what the force ought to look like. And in a general sense, though, the force needs to serve as a complement to a Lebanese force. The key is to have Lebanon agree with it. And the key is to have Israel agree with it. Those are the two parties.
Oh,
Hezbollah is not a state. They're a, you know, supposed political party that happens to be armed.
Like Republicans.
Now, what kind of state is it that has got a political party that has got a militia?
Michigan?
It's a state that needs to be helped, is what that is. And we need to help the Sonora government deal with a political party that is armed, that gets its arms and helps from other parts of the world.
Oh, kill me now. Oh, my God, kill me now. Who should be part of it? Who should lead it? Also, is Hezbollah agreeing to it a precondition for setting up the force? You know, this imaginary force that Condoleezza Rice is dancing, you know, doing her toe dance, her little shoe dance about, and Tony Blair is over there just wagging his ass like he knows what's going on. And Bush, talking about international consensus, nothing happens in that part of the world based on consensus. It's based on agreements between the United States and Israel. Period! Period! The key is to have Lebanon agree with whatever agreement is agreed to. And the key is to have Israel agree with it. Oh, Lebanon has to agree and Israel has to agree. Okay, keep bombing. He says those are the two parties. Hezbollah is not a state. Okay, and Africa is not a country. So? He says their supposed political party happens to be armed. Sounds like Cheney. Sounds like gun-crazed Republicans. What kind of state is it that's got a political party that's got a militia? Well, like I said, Michigan? Idaho? Alabama, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Texas, you moron! Louisiana, Arkansas. We need to help the Sonora government, he says, deal with a political party that is armed and that gets its arms and helps from other parts of the world. Let's see, who else gets their arms and helps from other parts of the world? Let me think a minute. Syria, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Israel, Kuwait. Who provides those arms and helps? The United States! That's right! Go to the head of the class, chuckle nuts! Finally tonight, Manor Monkey spewed the same tired old sound bites to David Gregory's question about how America has lost its influence in the Middle East, hence the failure to stop this current madness. And I guess we'll have to do that one when we come back. We can't do it now? All right, I guess not. Okay. Yeah, America has lost its influence in the Middle East. No, we haven't lost it. You blew it into a million pieces, you half-wit. You disgusting man. You, with your threats and your invasions. And you're withholding desperately needed payments to the Palestinians after they elected Hamas. Freezing their assets along with Israel, who controls paychecks that go to the Palestinians in Gaza. Okay, no more paychecks. You guys in your democracy crap elected the wrong group of people. So no money, no food, no water, no electricity, no air conditioning, no schools, no hospitals, nothing, because we're going to bomb you. And by God, if you come across the border and take one of our people, we'll step up the bombing. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Who's there?
Opportunity.
Opportunity who?
Opportunity knocking.
What for?
Your chance to win.
Win what?
Sony stuff.
Who's with you?
Sony card.
Sony card who?
Sony card weekly cash-in.
Cash-in? How much?
A $500 Sony card credit or a $599 Sony style gift card every week.
That's a lot of dough.
Good for a lot of entertainment.
Like movies and music? A digital camera?
Go for it.
But how?
Every week, three lucky card members could win.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
But you gotta act fast.
Where do I apply?
Online.
What's the address?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner.
Sounds easy.
It is. It's SonyCard. Earning points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with SonyCard.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. The United Nations has issued a report on Hurricane Katrina that a New Orleans activist calls a wake-up call. She's talking about the United Nations report that says the U.S. should do more to protect poor people and blacks during natural disasters like Hurricane Katrina. The U.N. Human Rights Committee says those groups were disadvantaged after the storm and that their rights must be taken into consideration during rebuilding. The activist, Monique Cardin, couldn't agree more. She's with a group called Advocates for Environmental Human Rights, which urged the UN to investigate. She says the federal government has to change the way it's handling the recovery. As for the federal government response, the State Department says the government is looking at Katrina's lessons to make sure they're better prepared if there is a next time. Laron Bush calling for a UN force in Lebanon. George Bush says he's sending Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice back to the Mideast tomorrow to work for what British Prime Minister Tony Blair says should be stabilization for the medium and longer term. After a meeting between the two leaders at the White House, Bush and Blair called for a multinational force to be sent. Bush says the UN Security Council will meet to consider a resolution with what he called a framework for the cessation of hostilities on an urgent basis. Meanwhile, the UN Secretary General already paving the way for a possible Security Council deployment of troops to the Mideast. Kofi Annan has invited countries that might contribute to an international force on the Lebanese-Israeli border to attend a meeting on Monday. France, Britain, some other Security Council members have been pressing for a resolution demanding an immediate end to the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah. Warning that thousands of children and others are still stranded in Lebanon, the UN's humanitarian chief is urging a three-day truce. And if it leads to something more long-term, he says that would be fine, too. Jan Egeland wants both Israel and Hezbollah to stop hostilities for at least 72 hours. The UN Security Council may be close to agreeing about a next step on Iran and its nuclear program. Diplomats say the five permanent members are closing in on a resolution that would give Iran a little more than a month to shut down its uranium enrichment processes. For enforcement, the resolution calls for economic and diplomatic sanctions, but only after more talks. The threat of sanctions could be imposed after more meetings between Russia and China, who demand a more lenient approach. This is Air America Radio News.
back, about 7 past the hour. All right, let's. This is Air America. Let's get this last one in. This is Chucklenut spewing the same tired old sound bites that just ricochet around inside his head like ball bearings in an empty baseball stadium. David Gregory asked a question about how America has lost its influence in the Mideast, hence the failure to stop this current madness. David Gregory says, Mr. President, 3 years ago you argued that an invasion of Iraq would create a new stage of Arab-Israeli peace. Oh, my God. And yet today, there is an Iraqi prime minister who has been sharply critical of Israel. Arab governments, despite your arguments, who have criticized Hezbollah, have now changed their tune. Now they're sharply critical of Israel. And despite from both of you, Blair and Bush, warnings to Syria and Iran to back off support from Hezbollah, effectively, Mr. President, your words are being ignored. So what has happened to America's clout in this region that you've committed yourself to transform, you psychopathic bat? Oh, I'm sorry. So what has happened to America's clout in this region that you've committed yourself to transform?
David, we went to the G8 and worked with our allies and got a remarkable statement on what took place.
Oh.
We're working to get a United Nations resolution on Iran.
Oh.
We're working to have a Palestinian state.
Oh.
But the reason why you asked the question is because terrorists are trying to stop that progress.
Oh.
And we'll ultimately prevail because their ideology is so dark and so dismal that when people really think about it, it'll be rejected. They just got a different tool to use than we do. They kill innocent lives to achieve objectives.
Oh.
That's what they do.
Oh.
And they're good. They get on the TV screens and they get people to ask questions about, well, you know, this, that, or the other. I mean, they're able to kind of say to people, don't come and bother us because we will kill you.
What?
And my attitude is that now's the time to be firm. And we've got a great weapon on our side, and that is freedom and liberty. And it's got those two concepts have got the capacity to defeat ideologies of hate.
There has never been a more simplistic explanation or plan for action in U.S. history. Ever. Or one that is more full of bat crap. Their ideology is so dark and so dismal that when people really think about it, it'll be rejected. You know what, idiot? They think your ideology is dark and dismal. So what? And we got a great weapon on our side. That's freedom and liberty. What are you, some Jedi Knight? Going to defeat the terrorists with the Force? That's kind of preschool magical thinking, Bush. Never mind. What has the question, Halfwit, was your words are being ignored. What has happened to America's clout in this region?
Well, David, we went to the G8 and worked with our allies and got a remarkable statement on what took place. Now, I don't know what it is, but we got one, Carl said.
My God. To anyone who is listening to this program who is not within the borders of the United States or who is not an American, you know, someplace around the world or visiting here, I don't speak for anybody but myself. I don't speak for liberals. I don't speak for this network. I don't speak for Democrats. Nobody except moi. So let me just say this. I'm sorry that my country is in the clutches of a band of murderous psychopaths who celebrate death and try to spread as much of it as they can. I apologize. I deeply apologize. To make a hard left turn here, or I guess it would be a right turn, Las Vegas has made it illegal to feed homeless people? Right. No, they have. It's illegal to feed homeless people in the parks in Las Vegas. The ordinance went into effect today. You can't so much as offer a biscuit to a poor person in a city park. Now, you see, what has Las Vegas upset, their homeless population has doubled in the past decade to about 12,000 people in and around the city. And Las Vegas now joins several other cities around the country that have adopted or considered ordinances that says you can't distribute charitable food in parks. You can't do it. Now, the Las Vegas ordinance, however, is believed to be the first to explicitly make it an offense to feed hungry poor people. This is incredible, right? Now, the reason this caught my eye, you know what all these bastards on television who claim to be Christians, what they constantly say, and what these evil bastards in the Republican Party constantly say, that we're a Christian nation? There's never any doubt, right? We're a Christian nation. Jews, Muslims, agnostics, atheists, Hindus, Buddhists, tree worshipers, blah, 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 blah. Don't talk to me about the founders being deists. They were all Christians. Yeah. We're a Christian nation. Christian nation. Christian nation. So where are these Christians today? Or where were they when word got out that Las Vegas was going to make it a crime? A literal crime punishable by a fine and 6 months in jail if you feed homeless people. If you hand, I'm not talking about setting up a table. I'm talking about opening up your backpack and handing them a peanut butter sandwich. You will go to jail if you are caught. Isaiah 58:10. And if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness and your gloom will become like midday. Luke 12:33. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. Luke 6:20-21. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Isaiah 58:66. Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house, when you see the naked to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Matthew 5:42. Give to him who asks of you! And do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. But these Christians are convinced that what Christ wants them to do is to lobby against gay marriage and that sort of thing, and give more bombs to Israel and kill more Muslims. How do you make it illegal to feed hungry people? If the homeless population has doubled to 12,000 in Las Vegas, you would think that Las Vegas, being as wealthy as it is, I mean, all those evil sons of bitches who host the good Christians that come from all over the United States to gamble, you know, like Bill Bennett. Don't you suppose there could be maybe a 1/1,000,000% gambling tax that would go into a big barrel and the poor people could be... Oh, never mind.
Can you still feed the squirrels?
If they have an income, I guess, or a place to live.
If they have houses, you can feed the squirrels?
I guess so. It's just Las Vegas says if they're indigent, homeless, and hungry, and you feed them, your ass is going to jail, along with the rest of you. You know, your legs, your elbows, your kneecaps, your ankles, your head, your mouth, your face, your brain.
You're
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Nation is committed to dealing with poverty. First, let me make it very clear, poor people aren't necessarily killers. Just because you happen to be not rich doesn't mean you're willing to kill.
Sick bastard. 21 past the hour. Who just sent this to me? Albert. This is from Orlando, from yesterday. Apparently, Orlando City Commissioners had also passed an ordinance that says you may not feed the homeless. But members of a charity group in Orlando continued to feed the homeless Wednesday in direct defiance of that order. The University of Central Florida organization Food, Not Bombs, fed the homeless in Lake Eola Park Thursday. The representative of the ACLU said, quote, they do it because of the fact that they have people showing up here every Wednesday to get fed, and they will go hungry if they don't come down here, the Food Not Bombs organization. Since the group has been holding the feedings for some time, Orlando police said they will allow a grace period, but the ordinance will be enforced. Local 6 News reported that the group is ready to go to jail to feed the homeless. I would, I don't know what religion those people are. They may be atheists, they may be Jews, they may be Muslims, Christians. I assume that they have some sort of moral underpinning that is absolutely absent from so many so-called Christians, right? Orlando is kind of in the buckle of Florida's Bible Belt. And I wonder how many of the commissioners who voted this ordinance consider themselves to be Christian. Or Jewish. I was quoting to you from the Old and the New Testament, both.
Well, what do we do, Mike? The sons of bitches show up like so many cockroaches. What are you going to do?
It requires some thought, doesn't it? It requires some ethical conduct on the part of people who put together cities and ordinances and neighborhoods and parks and laws and the rules and the regulations, doesn't it? Yeah. Last one here, and then we're going to come to your phone calls. You talk about a lack of ethics. This is from today's, I don't know where it comes from, but the Bush administration spelled out plans on Friday to sell $4.6 billion worth of arms to moderate Arab states, including battle tanks worth as much as $3 billion to protect critical Saudi infrastructure. Imagine the Israelis read this and they go, Jesus, God. The announcement came 2 weeks after the administration said it would sell Israel its latest supply of JP-8 aviation fuel, valued up to $210 million, to help Israeli warplanes
keep peace and security in the region. Now, they can't use it to go over there and bomb Lebanese children into charred pieces of coal. They can only use it to keep peace.
The United States also rushed a delivery of precision-guided bombs requested by Israel after launching its airstrike against Hezbollah fighters in Lebanon 17 years ago, the New York Times reported. In the newly proposed sales to Arab states, Black Hawk helicopter gunships worth up to $800 million would go to the UAE, while Apache helicopters worth as much as $400 million would go to Saudi Arabia. Bahrain would also get Black Hawk helicopters valued at $250 million. Jordan would get a potential $156 million in upgrades to its M113A1 armored personnel carriers. Javelin anti-tank missiles valued up to $48 million will go to Oman under the deals put forward by the Pentagon's Defense Security Cooperation Agency. The project's prime contractor will be General Dynamics Corporation, Land Systems Business Unit of Sterling Heights, Michigan, the Pentagon said in a notice to Congress. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the meek. Unbelievable. This is a Christian nation? No, it's not. This is a nation conceived in slavery and genocide and now run by people whose concept of morality and ethical behavior comes from the most venomous, worm-infested part of their Satan's mind. Arm them all. Arm every one of them. Give them all bombs, guns, helicopter gunships, jets, jet fuel. Give them nuclear weapons. Give them everything. Let them kill each other. We love it.
Speaking of worms.
A nation torn by war. Oh, she's far too young to die.
Oh, Jesus.
You can see it in her eyes. It's time to let the mighty eagle soar. Let the eagle soar. Like she's.
This is Air America. Your phone calls when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
From Rocky Coast to Golden Shore, let the mighty eagle soar, soar with healing in her wings, as the land beneath her sings.
Ah!
Ah! Only God knows.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL Ultra has an 8-year guarantee. The reason my warranties are so much stronger is that my American-made vacuums are so much stronger. Orrick XLs clean thousands of hotel rooms every day. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. You'll still be breaking in an Orrick while other vacuums are broken down.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour. Do we have anybody that wants to talk on this program? Oh, my God, we sure do. All right, let's begin. Ahmed is calling from Chicago. Ahmed, welcome to the program.
Hi. First of all, I want to thank you for finally speaking the truth from a perspective. First of all, I'm a Muslim, and I live in America. I was born and raised here. I'm calling basically to give a perspective. People always ask, why are Muslims mad in America? And it's always due, you know, because they hate the freedoms or
right.
some crap like that.
Right.
Well, basically, you know, I live here. I'm a medical student in America, actually, so there's no freedoms that I haven't enjoyed all my life.
Right.
You know, it's simple to understand. If you just open your eyes, you can see that in the middle of a war, you're providing bombs to one side.
Mm-hmm.
They're killing Muslims on the other side. People like me sitting in Chicago here, you know, it affects me as I see these little women and children in Lebanon being charred to death. That affects me in a fundamental way. That makes me angry. Now, you put that on somebody that lives next door. It's their mom. It's their dad. It's their best friend that's dying. How would you not get terrorism?
Right.
How would you not get people fighting back? I mean, it's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's born a suicide bomber. Nobody is born to tie a... no mom wants to send their kids with a bomb around their waist and go blow them up. Nobody. That's a fact.
Right. I think you do understand, Ahmed, that for the most part, Americans who still have a brain and a heart and a soul left, the ones that haven't had it burned out by Limbaugh or Fox News or George Bush, understand what you're saying and agree with what you're saying, whether that person is Jew or Gentile, gay, straight, man or woman, black, white. They get it. Real Americans do get what you're saying and do understand that the policies of the U.S. government have been so incredibly one-sided where it concerns Israel and its neighbors. And we've been talking about that on this program, the reasons for it, the collective horrendous guilt about the Holocaust, A, B, the fact that Israel was a key strategic ally during the 50 years of the Cold War with the Soviet Union, which, of course, is now over. So I would just hope that someday we have an administration who will treat Israel the same way that it treats other countries that that may be allied with the United States, although Israel has in many instances worked directly against U.S. interests. The United States has worked against Israel interests. So I hope that day comes. But I'll tell you what, Ahmed, it'll take a non-fundamentalist Christian regime in this country in order to get to that point. Bush would never get to that point.
I completely agree. I'm just glad that at least there's somebody on the radio that's saying something similar to make people understand that Muslims are not. I'm not a terrorist. I'm not an Islamo fascist. I'm not a bomber. I don't care what. You know, I hear all these terms and they make my, you know, make me cringe. You know, there's a lot of us, vast majority of us that are physicians, that are working hard to save lives, that are lawyers, that are doing jobs, starting businesses, helping poor people out. You know, the story you were talking about earlier, it's also in the Quran that you feed poor people.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that, and we do that. And it's just sad that the only thing that ever gets talked about is the terrorist aspect or whatever that may be. And people fail to realize that vast majority of people disagree, even in this country, with this country's policies. The Muslims that are enjoying the good things America has to offer, but are upset about our foreign policy. It's not just people living out in the woods somewhere or you know, in faraway lands wearing bomber vests. People in America that are upset, too.
That's very true.
And that doesn't get played up. I just wanted to thank you. I felt like I haven't heard somebody support the Muslim point of view, or at least that global point of view, in the last 2 months, you know, and years, but like definitely since this conflict started with Gaza, it's always been Israel's protecting itself, and that's it.
And I hear you, Ahmed, loud and clear. Let me ask you something. How are you hearing this program?
I'm hearing it on the Internet.
On the Internet, okay. I just wondered, I used to live in Chicago myself and used to be on WLS, which is entirely right-wing. We do have a station that carries some of the programming from Air America, but I think it's in the suburbs, and it goes off the air at sundown, which means my program is not carried. But I was just curious. I hope you continue to listen and call us again, okay?
Thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Ah. Let's go to Barbara, who's calling in from Bellingham, Washington. Barbara, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hey.
One of my most favorite quotes is that a lie can get halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its pants on.
Yeah, was that Mark Twain?
I believe so.
I believe it was. Yeah, that's
and
true.
I think in about the last 48, 72 hours, the general public opinion has changed in this country about this Israeli movement, in that it's obvious that there was quite a bit of this pre-planned. And it had nothing to do with the two soldiers.
That appears to have been the case.
I have no hope that anything is going to improve soon. I think they're going to take it as far as they can take it.
You know, it's no different from the pre-planning that went into the invasion of Afghanistan and the invasion of Iraq. The invasion of Afghanistan had to do with the fact that the Taliban, who had been in Houston, Texas, visiting with oil interests and Mr. Bush, a few months before the attack of September 11th, and had refused an offer that was made by the oil companies and people who eventually would be members of the Bush crime family to build this this pipeline across Afghanistan into Pakistan and then into the Indian Ocean. So that was all laid out. The invasion of Afghanistan, the invasion of Iraq has been burning inside the evil minds of the Project for a New American Century neocons.
And that's why Krugman's column is so disheartening.
Yeah, it is. It's very disheartening.
Because the facts are there, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. 9/11 was the last of the trifecta that Bush needed as an excuse to invade. You know, you can get all this. People can get all this information at DowningStreetMemo.com. There's all sorts of sites out there that has the information. But the whole idea was perpetual war after DowningStreet.com is the one I believe I'm talking about. But anyway. I hear what you're saying, and what Krugman wrote today just freaked me out. I had no idea that 64% of the American public now believe that Saddam had ties to al-Qaeda, or that 50% believe that there really were weapons of mass destruction.
Even in the face of opposing facts.
It's incredible. I'm ashamed. I said earlier tonight, in this particular instance, I am ashamed to live in a country that has as its leadership and is doing nothing about it, these psychopaths.
Maybe that's it's protection for them. Maybe it's easier for them. Maybe that's what it takes to get them through the night. Who knows?
Who knows? Barbara, thanks for your
Bye.
Comments. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call. William is calling from Hollywood, California. William, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
I'm just calling. I saw Blair and Bush this morning, and all I got out of that was when they almost zoomed in on Bush and he leans forward and he brings up Hezbollah, terrorists, murderers, killers.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing that we've heard before, you know, like you were just saying to the last caller.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing about not feeding the homeless, I mean, we're criminals for caring about people.
This is a Christian nation, I thought.
Yeah. Christian nation. What you're reading of the Bible, I mean, I have a little bit of an idea about the Bible, not a lot, but I mean, I remember those passages, and when I read them years and years and years ago,
mm-hmm.
they meant something. You felt like a human being feeling
right.
that way.
Right.
But now it's a crime to be a human being in this country. I don't, you know, I just don't know what it's coming to here. And like you're saying, I'm totally ashamed to be represented by these people.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Totally ashamed. You know, it's shocking to me. And it just seems like we're headed further and further into something we're never going to get out of.
It seems that way, but I think in our history shows that just when it appears that we've been ready to pitch over into the abyss historically, we've for the most part managed to find a way to pull ourselves back. And that's what keeps me living here and doing this radio program and believing that our system will prevail rather than the people who are murdering our system prevail. So keep the faith for just a little bit longer, William, okay?
Okay.
All right, sir. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Take care. Eric is calling from Portland, Oregon. Eric, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Mike, for having me on. I was calling in. I was listening to, they had somebody subbing for Sam Cedar on KPOJ in Portland, and actually got in to talk to you, which I'm a big fan, and I really appreciate the opportunity. But you're talking about the same issues as the sub for Sam Cedar as far
Hey, can you hold on, Eric? We got to take a break. Just stay right there. We'll come back right after the break. And hear what you've got to say. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
That kind of man. I used to be a cokehead, but that was way back when. Now I get my hash from putting crackheads in the pan. I learned my foreign policy from my old man. If a dictator's in trouble, then you give a helping hand. If you're fighting for your freedom, then I'm your man. But you'll be out of luck if you're a Palestinian.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
obviously killing Americans, but they're killing a lot more Iraqis.
Ten before the hour. We're just about ready to talk with Eric. Had to take a break. Let's go back to Eric, who's called in from Portland, Oregon. Eric, thanks for holding on.
Thanks for letting me hold on, Mike. I guess, like I was telling your producer, just a little background about myself. I'm a Jewish-American, secular slash atheist. I don't believe in God. I'm not practicing. I still identify myself as being Jewish. And I guess sometimes it's scary to hear, and I do consider myself very left-of-center liberal. It's scary for me to hear many left-of-center liberals, such as yourself. And again, I respect you quite a bit, Mike. I love your show. But to make a moral equivalency between Israel and Hezbollah, for example, people are trying to describe Hezbollah as these freedom fighters. They're fighting for the freedom of Lebanon, and I just can't see it that way. When, let's say Israel was wrong, they occupied Lebanon, they pulled out years ago, their United Nations resolution was put in place for Lebanon to take control of the southern part of their country. The world didn't take care of it. Lebanon didn't. And what happened was there was a massive weaponry allowed to be built up, and now it's being used against the Israelis. And I feel that they are defending themselves, and it's horrible. I don't want women and children to be killed. I don't think most Israelis don't want that. I think there's a situation here that was just it was allowed to fester, I guess, over the years. No one did anything about it. And now that Hezbollah, they were on the offense. This would never be taking place if someone did not cross into Israeli territory and kill these soldiers and kidnap a couple soldiers. In Israel, you're darn right they were preparing for this, because they knew Iran was sending hundreds of thousands of missiles to this terrorist organization. And I'm sorry, there is no moral equivalency between Hezbollah and Israel. There just isn't.
Let me ask you, where, and I mean this sincerely, where did you get the information that Hezbollah fighters crossed into Israeli territory and captured the two IDF soldiers? Where did you get that information?
A variety of news sources, the New York Times, CNN.
Okay, are you aware that there's also a variety of news sources that say that absolutely that is not the case? They are mostly European or Middle Eastern news sources that say the IDF soldiers were in Lebanese territory when they were captured. Now, one can listen to both stories and choose which one to believe, because things that occur in the Middle East are very seldom what they appear to be. Let me ask you another question. Do you know how Hezbollah came into existence? That's part A of the question. Part B is, are you familiar with the Sabra and Shatila concentration camps?
No, and I know how Hezbollah came into existence through funding through Iran. And just to,
No. I mean, what their raison d'etre is, or was. Why Hezbollah was born?
I guess I can answer that. I know why they're here now. They're here now to destroy the state of Israel, and that's what a lot of these organizations, that's what they have pronounced this to the world, that that's what they want to do. They would like to wipe all the Jews off and push them into the sea, and that's what they say. And I don't know, I don't care why they were formed, and that's what they want to do now.
Well, in not caring how they were formed, you're handicapping yourself in trying to understand and reach some sort of rational solution to what has occurred and what is ongoing in this, let me finish, in this particular region now. Hezbollah was formed as a reaction to the Israeli occupation of Lebanon. There was no Hezbollah. 20 years ago, it didn't exist.
Let me finish.
I did you the courtesy of listening to what you had to say. Certainly grant me that courtesy. Hezbollah was formed as a reaction to the Israeli military being there. And if you are not familiar with Sabra and Shatila, which were two refugee camps populated by Palestinians in the south of Lebanon, and because the Israeli Defense Forces were in control of the south of Lebanon, Ariel Sharon at the time was still active military, and he ordered the Israeli forces sympathetic to Israel into Sabra and Shatila, and there was a massive massacre of hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of refugees who in Lebanon who had no business to be there, except they were driven to that area by the Israelis. They were driven out of the section of Palestine. Now, let me tell you this. We can sit here and trade these stories back and forth until hell freezes over and Satan laughs into the middle of the night. It doesn't make any difference. It really doesn't make any difference. The points of view expressed are strictly points of view. There has to be a solution to the situation between these Semitic people, whether they're Jew or Arab. There has to be solution. If there is not solution, then this is going to continue. 50 years from now, if there's talk radio, if there's Earth, if there are human beings still walking the Earth, there will be talk radio programs 50 years from now where people will say, oh my God, what about this latest incursion by this group or that group, and Israel's only defending itself. You understand what I'm saying?
I agree that I hope, I mean, again, I'm an atheist, but the one thing I may pray on is that there is a solution to this.
I feel the same way. Now, one last thing. Please do this as a favor, not to me, but just to give you maybe a broader understanding. Google Sabra, just like it sounds, Shatila, which has as Shatilla. Just Google that and read. And I hope you
I absolutely will.
All right, Eric, thank you. I appreciate what you had to say. Here comes the train. We got to get out of here. Thanks a lot. I hope you call again. Take care, okay?
See you later. Bye.
All right. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
On Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org, a message from Air America Radio.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. A gunman opened fire late Friday in the offices of the Jewish Federation in downtown Seattle, leaving one woman dead and five other women wounded. A suspect has been arrested. Police at this point won't discuss a possible motive. Investigators believe he acted alone, but locked down buildings in the area for precautionary searches. Three of the wounded women were rushed into surgery. The Federation last weekend sponsored a rally in Seattle to support Israel's battles against Hezbollah. A spokeswoman told a Seattle paper that the gunman, before he opened fire, said he was angry at Israel. Four leaders of the Aryan Brotherhood prison gang showed no emotion in a Santa Ana, California courtroom as guilty verdicts were handed down Friday on five of six counts of murder and racketeering in the largest capital murder trial in federal history. U.S. Attorney spokesman Tom Morozik said the two ringleaders, Barry Mills and Tyler Bingham, were found guilty in connection with eight murders in prison.
As a result of the guilty verdicts, the jury will return in several weeks to consider whether or not Mr. Mills and Mr. Bingham should be executed for their crime.
The death penalty phase for two other Aryan Brotherhood members begins August 15th. Christopher Gibson and Edgar Heavley are expected to be given life in prison without the possibility of parole. It's up to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice to get Israel and Lebanon to agree on a UN resolution on a ceasefire to end the 17-day war with Hezbollah. President Bush is sending her to the Middle East, urging her to find a compromise so the UN can vote next week. Meanwhile, Israeli military forces and Hezbollah militants continued to exchange scores of missiles and artillery rounds Friday as the number of civilian deaths topped 500 in the 17-day war, with 90% of those casualties in Lebanon. Hezbollah fired scores of rockets across the border into northern Israel, including a new missile that has a range of nearly 30 miles. In Lebanon, Israeli attacks focused near Tyre and in the Baqa Valley. Attorneys general from several states are fighting a deal reached by drug maker Bristol Myers Squibb that would keep a cheaper generic version of its heart medicine Plavix off the market for another 5 years. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Thank you.
It's about 7 past the hour. I hope Eric in Portland is still listening because there's something I want to share with you here in just a second. But first, I've been asked by several listeners to mention that C-SPAN 1 will be airing the 9/11 American Scholars Symposium tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And then again for the West Coast at, I believe that will be 8 p.m. on the West Coast. So 8 p.m. on the East Coast and 8 p.m. on the West Coast on C-SPAN 1, the full coverage of the 9/11 American Scholars Symposium. If you don't know what it is, tune in and check it out. If you do know what it is, but missed the entire conference, there you go. Eric in Portland, if you're still listening, I want to share this with you. Earlier this evening, we had a woman call in and mention the fact that a lie travels around the world before truth has a chance to get its pants on in the morning. Maybe that applies to this. And I thank Barb for sending this to me. This is from Forbes.com. Forbes, the business magazine, Forbes Online. This is from July 12th. What is that, 2 weeks ago? The title is Hezbollah Captures Two Israeli Soldiers. Here's the story. The militant group Hezbollah captured two Israeli soldiers during clashes Wednesday across the border in southern Lebanon. Across the border in southern Lebanon, prompting a swift reaction from Israel, which sent ground forces into its neighbor to look for them. The forces were trying to keep the soldiers' captors from moving them deeper into Lebanon, Israeli government officials said, on condition of anonymity. The Israeli military would not confirm the report. And there's more here. It's just rhetoric from Olmert. But I wouldn't call Forbes a publication that has an anti-Israel or anti-Jewish bias. Now, Eric, if you're still listening, I said that it was reported mostly by the European press and the press in the Middle East, which is true. But this is Forbes magazine, Forbes.com. And once again, let me just share this with you and take it for what it's worth. Remember, nothing in the Middle East ever is exactly as it appears to be. The militant group Hezbollah captured two Israeli soldiers during clashes Wednesday across the border in southern Lebanon, prompting a swift reaction from Israel, which sent ground forces into its neighbor to look for them. The forces were trying to keep the soldiers' captors from moving them deeper into Lebanon, Israeli government officials said, on condition of anonymity. So there you go. And I'd like to make this point too. I've made it a couple of times. This has been ugly 2 weeks for anyone who, like you, whoever you are, who believes in justice and truth and balance in the Middle East and fair play for Arab and Jew as equally. So I want to make this point about my coverage of this latest conflict between the Israelis and the Arabs. To all those who call me an anti-Semite and say I'm wrong on this one, would you rather not hear any balance on this issue in American media? Doesn't have to all be just pro-Israel, pro-Israel, pro-Israel in order to satisfy you. I read the emails and the ones that come through. I do screen some of the more vile ones, the ones that wish Molly dead and my wife dead. But some of you who hate my coverage of this topic love the way I bashed the Bush crime family for what I consider to be their illegal and out-of-balance invasions in the Arab world. Now, you can't have it both ways. Balanced coverage, or an attempt at balanced coverage, is just that. Whether discussing Bush, or Olmert, the neocons who've taken over the Republican Party, or the Likud. I don't pick my positions because they're politically convenient. It is simply what I believe. I would love to see a two-state solution considering the Israelis and the Palestinians. Period. I have a perspective on Palestine, Israel, that would have precluded a two-state solution had things been handled differently 50, 75, 100 years ago, but they weren't. And you have to deal with reality the way it presents itself, right? So the way it's presenting itself and has presented itself now for the past 50 years is that the only rational solution would be a two-state solution. Whether it's just for the Israelis or the Arabs is a different argument. So, now as far as the claims that Hezbollah entered Israeli territory and attacked an Israeli IDF patrol and shot people and captured two soldiers, that's the story that has found favor in American media. That is the story that is being put out there. There is no balance. None. If you happen to have come across this this report at Forbes.com back on the 12th of July, as Barb did, obviously, and sent it to me, you would have seen a different story. Now, which story is true? Which story is true? In the Forbes piece, it says the Israeli government officials are the ones who said this, as long as they were granted anonymity. Is that true? Did Israeli government officials really come out and say, yeah, two of our guys were captured because they were on patrol in southern Lebanon looking for terrorists, looking for Hezbollah, whatever, but they were captured on Lebanese soil? Is this a lie? Is the story a lie? Are the Israeli officials lying? Who's lying? Is the American media lying, or does the truth lie somewhere between those two positions? I don't know how that's possible. The geographic location of these soldiers. Who knows the boundary between Lebanon and Israel? I mean, is it well known? Is it carefully delineated? Do all the soldiers in that area, whether they're Hezbollah or Israelis, do they carry GPS equipment? Do they know when this foot is in Israel and that foot is in Lebanon? Do they? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. But what I do know is that on July 12th, Forbes.com reported that Israeli government officials, speaking on condition of anonymity, reported the exact opposite of what the world is to believe now. So take it for what it's worth. Now, I got a bunch of emails here. Well, not a bunch, just a couple. I want to do those about the Las Vegas thing and about it's a crime in certain American cities to feed homeless people, you know, in this great Christian nation of the United States. It's okay. Prostitution in Las Vegas is okay. you can go out and turn tricks. Think about that for a second. First of all, what it says about Las Vegas's attitude toward women. You can turn tricks, can't you? Am I wrong? Prostitution's legal in Nevada, isn't it?
Maybe you just can't feed the hookers.
Is that it? You can't, or you can't have sex with the homeless.
That would probably be a better law.
Yeah. All right. These emails when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Just a dream. All the covers that I see are different from the books I read. Crumbling around me. Why does everything cost so much money?
could somebody please help out my family? My mom.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
What's more important to you, a better-looking vacuum or a cleaner, healthier home? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL may not win any beauty contests, but it wins rave reviews from owners of those dust-spewing bagless clunkers. Once they try an Orrick XL, they love it. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and take a risk-free trial of the vacuum that won't send a cloud of dust in your face.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Learn to speak a language. Let's learn to speak Arabic. Those in the Arabic region will say, gosh, America's interested in us. They care enough to learn how we speak.
Unless they're gay, and then, of course, we'll mess them up or fire them. Or no, that's our military. Never mind. Madly Femme emails me, prostitution in Nevada, not in Las Vegas or Reno. It's not legal in Las Vegas or Reno. There is local control, Madly Femme writes. I think there's only one county outside Las Vegas. Okay, thanks, Madly Femme. I appreciate it. Oh, she also says, on the, off the subject, vote for Jack Carter, liberal for U.S. Senate from Nevada, against the war before we went. Jack Carter, that's Jimmy Carter's son. All right, this about the Las Vegas thing. Okay, prostitution is legal near Las Vegas, but feeding the homeless is not legal in Las Vegas, in the parks. I guess if they're lying in the gutter, you can feed them, you know, as long as they're on concrete. But if they're in the park, you can't feed them there. See how easy it is to dehumanize people? This is from Scott. Mike, I can't get my mind around the fact that in a major city in the United States, it's legal to feed a stray animal, but not a hungry homeless person. This is compassionate conservatism at work. The mayor of Las Vegas, Oscar Goodman, was asked how authorities would determine just who is homeless in order to enforce his law. His reply, quote, certain truths are self-evident. You know who's homeless, end quote. Wow. I guess Jefferson got it half right, at least. What else did this toilet-dwelling bastard say? Quote, this is not a punishment. This is to help people. The people who provide sandwiches have good intentions, but they're enabling people not to get the help that is needed, end quote. Wow. That kind of thinking, to me, is as bad as Bush's magical thinking, but more corrupt. You know, we're going to help you. We're going to help you by starving you. Never mind. This is from Tyler. Mike, I listen to your show frequently. I wanted to inform you more about Food Not Bombs. That's the organization that is feeding people in the parks in Orlando. Tyler writes, they are made up of primarily anarchists, you know, the bad, evil people bent on destruction. It was started by anarchist punks in the 80s. I think they come from a variety of religious backgrounds, and they welcome people from any religion, social group, race, etc. They do great work, and I'm proud of them for continuing what they do in the face of a ridiculously malicious law. Thanks, Tyler. I didn't know that. This particular group of Food Not Bombs, is that the, yeah, Food Not Bombs, they're associated with Central Florida University in near Orlando, I guess. Cindy writes, hi, Mike, Las Vegas is no longer the town it used to be. This never would have happened in the past, but Las Vegas today is owned, believe it or not, and occupied by mostly government retirees and military, both active and retired. That's right, the right-wingers who are super Christians, who gave us Reagan mania, are living in the town that has legalized prostitution. Well, Cindy, you were as wrong on that one as I was. But let the homeless starve. In the hot 116-degree sun, I wonder if you get arrested for offering water. Yeah, I hear you. Mike in Springfield, Illinois, writes, Mike, I'm only 30 years old, and I've noticed that the people who will do the most unchristian-like things are some of the people who profess to be the most Christian of all. I'm an atheist. I think the concept of an invisible man in the sky is one of the most ludicrous things I've ever heard. But you know what? I would still get arrested if that's what it meant to feed someone who was homeless and hungry, because that is the right thing to do, regardless of whether you believe in God or not. And then Mark in San Francisco regarding not feeding the squirrels because they could be homeless. And Kathy said, well, maybe it's, what did you say about the squirrels? You can't feed the homeless. You can feed the squirrels.
I was just asking if you could still feed the squirrels. If it was just people you couldn't feed. If ducks were on the list, yeah. Or birds or pigeons. Or...
Well, Mark in San Francisco writes, well, squirrels have homes. Of course one may feed the squirrels. It's a no-brainer.
Now we just got to find out about the hookers, whether or not you can feed the hookers.
All right,
do you
back...
ask people if they're homeless? I mean, how do you, if you just see someone...
Well, I read something else, and this Mayor Goodman apparently said something like, well, you can tell homeless people by the way they look, by the way they dress. If that's the case, for the most part, I better stay the hell out of Las Vegas.
Ever catch me in the morning going out to get the paper, You know.
In the morning, hell, when we go out to dinner, we both look like we're homeless.
You know, this sounds like a law designed by Neil Bortz.
It does. Then that sick bastard who squats over here at WSB Radio in Atlanta and gets syndicated to various hell holes around the country.
The only good welfare is corporate welfare.
Yeah, that's Neil, all right. All right, quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. Your phone call is coming up. I'm Mike Malloy.
Yo, bring it on down.
I think we are welcomed, but it was not a peaceful welcome.
I'm a driver, I'm a winner. Things are gonna change, I can feel it.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony Electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called Wish It, Win It from Sony Card. The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
wise about the money.
Don't mean a thing, just lock your doors and drive around. One more murder in this town. Don't worry the rain or watch the chalk marks from the ground.
25 before the hour. Back to your telephone calls here. Michael is calling from the Bronx. Hey, Michael, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing all right, sir. How are you?
Okay. Oh, I thought I heard music still in the background. I'm saying, we're going to another break already?
No, that's not music. That's the angels talking to you, Michael. Don't worry about it.
Okay, man. Yeah, I was listening to what you were saying about Lebanon and everything. I was taking into account also of the so-called good deeds that Bush and company has supposedly done, like renewing the Voting Rights Act and being more flexible about this or that. And I'm like, you know, I just want to pass the word to my fellow listeners or fellow truth seekers. Do not fall for any of this. I mean, yes, you're supposed to renew the Voting Rights Act because, you know, everyone's right to vote. That is the law. But the thing is that I speak only because of past experience with a certain former mayor of ours. I'm sure everyone has heard of Rudy Giuliani. Everybody knows him mainly because of September 11th and the 2 weeks of nobility that surrounded him thereafter. But not many people know about the 2 terms of living hell that he has bestowed upon New Yorkers. In a nutshell, Giuliani is just like Bush. The only difference is Giuliani is not stupid. And he faced a particular hurdle in his reelection bid when there was the worst kind of police brutality that occurred from 4 white cops onto a Haitian immigrant. That was only one time that he had denounced the racist police attack on a black person, and then he made like he was reaching out to blacks, and then he got passed and got reelected. Only after reelection did things get worse, and then you heard about the Amadou Diallo case. So my fear is that we're facing the same thing here with Bush. He and his Republicans in Congress, they know that they are in jeopardy, that the people of the Americans, they know that they are voting Democratic. Even registered Republicans saying they're going to vote Democratic. I have a Republican friend that's a karaoke host. He says he's voting Democratic. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to sugarcoat us. And then, heaven forbid, they get past November of this year, things are going to get a hell of a lot worse. That's why I'm warning everyone, stay on guard. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you loud and clear. That makes as much sense as anything else. Thanks, Michael.
You got it.
I appreciate you checking in. You take care. Sarge is calling from Mississippi. PowersandMorrison.com/oldSarge.
That's me. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, Sarge, what's up?
Hey, listen, you're going to have to hide Kathy away because after that Ashcroft singing, you know, there's a law against terror unless you're the president.
You know, I've threatened her job. I've told her before, if you do that, I'm going to fire you. And, of course, she says you can't fire me. I work for Air America, not for you. So I guess she's right.
Mike, what I wanted to tell you about, I finally got my long-awaited talk with Nancy Pelosi's office today.
Really?
I sure did, and it was one of the most interesting talks I've never had in my life.
Uh-oh.
She came out with a statement that you mentioned last night about the Israeli thing where Israel has a right to defend themselves.
Uh-huh.
And I decided I was going to check in on that. And they repeated that line to me. And I said, well, just a minute, you know, that's not quite true. The truth is that Israel was not attacked. Well, we cannot, I can only tell you what the press release is, and I can't get into that. You'll have to call the policy department because that's all I can tell you.
You're kidding.
Was my reply, yes.
You're kidding.
And so then I said, well, that's pretty sensible. I said, why does this lady want to represent the nation when she doesn't want to talk to the nation. You know, that's ridiculous.
Well, it's, you know, it's something that is true in this country, and that is politicians are, with very few exceptions, are absolutely think they are absolutely prohibited from criticizing Israel. And I tried to explain that the other night, not explain it, because most of you people are a hell of a lot smarter than I am, but I mean just to put out my take. And the reason for it is for years, we were told not to criticize Israel because, first of all, it was a major strategic partner in the Middle East against the Soviet Union. That was B. And A, of course, was the collective guilt, justifiable guilt, about how the West reacted to the slaughter during the Holocaust.
And
so,
the religious factor, Mike.
Yeah. So everybody got so much in the habit of not criticizing Israel. You don't criticize Israel. The Jewish people in this country who support the state of Israel represent such a tiny minority, 1%, half of 1%, and yet politicians in this country, whether they're Jew or Gentile, absolutely and utterly, they will fall all over each other when something like this comes up, Sarge, to get to the head of the line to denounce the other side, whoever the other side is, and to once again sanctify the actions taken by Israel. Now, not only is that illogical, it's not fair, and it's immoral, because there is no such thing on this planet.
That's right.
As a nation state that is always in the right when it's involved in warfare or in military activity or exchanges of rockets, whatever the hell it is.
Well, you know, Mike, my feeling about it is I really don't care who started it, because I'm sitting in an area where a four-year-old child tried to commit suicide because she can't stand the way that everything's been taken from her.
I understand. I understand.
And she says, my nation don't care about me. No one's trying to take care of us. The waters took everything I had. So they might as well take me, too.
I know. I read what you wrote. I read that email you sent.
Well, I've just written it at the hurricane section at our site. But it's heartbreaking. The one that told me was the one that rescued her. So. But, Mike, I'm going to let you go because you got other callers, and I don't want to cheat nobody, buddy.
All right. Well, thanks, Sarge. I appreciate what you had to say. Take care.
Thank you, Mike.
Go to powersandmorrison.com and read what he's got there on this particular four-year-old girl. If you can. I mean, if you can stand it. The child did not commit suicide, but the effort, sort of, a four-year-old effort was made. And it's just, you know, we're talking justifiably about these horror spots around the globe, courtesy of George W. Bush. I don't care if it's Hezbollah and IDF. I don't care if it's Iraq. I don't care. Gaza, it makes no difference. We have no leadership in this country, third-party leadership, to step in and try to do something the way Carter did, the way Clinton did. It's just not there. Again, the Bush crime family wants death. They want war. They want destruction. They want as much blood as they can get flowing. Meanwhile, back in this country, where there are problems just screaming for attention, where people just begging for assistance, some of them every bit as homeless and wandering around as refugees in Israel or Lebanon or Gaza or wherever. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Only they're in Mississippi and they're in Louisiana. And it's just awful. I just hope that we can get some leadership in this country in the election coming up this November, and then in 08, and never, ever, ever again allow these Republican thugs to govern anything except their own insanity, their own bigotry, their own biases. Get them out. If we need a minority party, let it be them, although I would rather see it be someone else, the Libertarians, the Independents, the Communist Party USA, if that's still around. Just get these filthy, unable-to-govern Republicans the hell out of my face and the country's face. They're useless. They're worse than useless. A year later, almost a year later, and look what is still in effect in the Mississippi, Louisiana, Gulf Coast areas. Just look at it. Just look at it. Look at it. and the thousands upon thousands of internal refugees, people who lived there, people who had homes there or rented there or had businesses there or lived there for generations, and they're gone and they can't get back. Who's going to build them rental property? Sick. All right. Back to your no? All right, we got a break. All right, then we'll come back to your phone call. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America. Ring them bells with an iron hand so the people will know. Oh, it's rush hour now. On the wheel and the plow. And the sun is a-going down upon the sacred cow. Ring them bells, sweet mother, for the poor man's son. Ring them bells so the world will know that God is one. Oh, the shepherd is asleep where the willows weep, and the mountains are filled with lost sheep.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and you need to get Greg Palast's new book, Armed Madhouse. The Baltimore Chronicle says no one's investigated the Bush Clan like Palast and lived to write about it. So pick up Armed Madhouse from Greg Palast, America's top investigative reporter and the funniest. With killer dispatches like Who's Afraid of Osama Wolf, The Scheme to Steal 2008, and No Child's Behind the Left. Armed Madhouse, also available as an audio book with guest readers like me. Armed Madhouse. Get it at GregPalast.com or your local bookstore.
no subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Ten before the hour. Thanks to the triumvirate who engineered our program tonight, Justin Yuen, Jason Isaac, and Tim MacArthur. Also thanks to David Weissman for handling your phone calls tonight. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall at MaximumInteractive.com is our webmaster. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Archives program. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. Thomas is calling from Phoenix. Thomas, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike. I just want to say that judging from what I heard with the way he was sounding during his press conference, it's like the best thing that's happened to him since 9/11. It's like diverting all our attention now. I wouldn't even be a bit surprised if he and the whole cabal of Cheney had been pressuring Israel to do this way, way back when they were, you know, blaming Harari on death because of Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And they were already threatening that Lebanon has to pay the price for the Marines that were killed there many, many years ago in the 80s when Reagan didn't want to do anything, so he used it as a excuse later on to, you know, decimate Lebanon in the process.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I do maintain the point of view that the Middle East is a house of mirrors, nothing. I don't care who claims what. Nothing is ever as it seems, exactly. Have you ever spent any time in a desert?
Only in the Arizona desert.
Well, that's right. You're from Phoenix, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, then you know if you spend enough time mm-hmm. in the desert. I've spent time in the Nevada desert and Utah, and after a while, things start to go just a little bit weird. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying?
You see water everywhere, but it's far away and it never...
Well, not
never
only that,
really
but you start to see your ally, you know, the spirit being that leaps up out of the mushroom or the cactus bud. No, never mind. That's a whole different topic.
No.
Yeah.
That's funny, though.
Yeah, it is funny.
I mean, the way you described it, because, by the way, you were like the first person I heard on Air America, and I almost died laughing. It was... back in 2003, going in 2004, when with the O'Reilly debacle, that was the first night my stepdad, I had given up on talk radio in the 90s because all they did was send one message. It was a right-wing message, and I couldn't stand it. And then finally my stepdad goes, there's really a rural station on now, and I turn it on, and you were the one that was on that night.
Oh, the falafel?
History.
The falafel thing?
Yeah, it was just, yeah, when you said the thing with the falafel, oh, my God, I thought I was going to, I mean, forget peeing in my pants, I thought I was going to literally...
Well, that's all right, that's all right, Thomas, I got you.
Okay.
All right, too much information. Thomas, thanks, I appreciate you checking in, okay? You have a good weekend, take care.
Okay.
Pal. All right, take care. Elise is calling from Memphis. Elise, welcome to the program.
Good, Mike, you're a conduit to my sanity.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, if I didn't have you, I'd be mumbling to myself like my schizophrenic twin sister who has been homeless for many years throughout her adult life. And if she wasn't dead out there, she's stable now. She
mm-hmm.
would be dead. So I'm just hearing about this. I've been in class a lot, so I don't get to do much but study and go to school. But I just wanted to mention that I still say this man wants to depopulate. He, Congress, Senate, his cronies, the executive powers to be, want to depopulate after Katrina. Now this bloodbath that he condoned and had a smile and smirk on his face before the when the stuff was escalating, before the bloodbath started. So that's all I needed to say, and I'm glad I got on and glad you took my call, and sending a shout-out to you and your family.
Thanks, Elise. Back at you. I appreciate what you had to say. You take care.
Have a good
weekend. Have a good weekend. Steve is calling from Springfield, Massachusetts. Steve, welcome to the program. Hello?
I'm not from Massachusetts, though. I'm Dallas.
Is this Steve in Dallas?
Yes.
Oh, all right. They connect me to the to Steve in Dallas. All right, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been meaning for a while to, or hoping for a while to hear some of the liberal media talk about the coming opening of the Iranian oil bourse. An oil bourse, I didn't know what that word meant before. It's an oil market.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was either until somebody sent me an email and said it's a market. It's a market. It's like stock market or commodities market.
Exactly. And up till this time, there's been two American companies, one in England, the ICE International Commodity Exchange, mm-hmm. and one in New York. I think it's the NYMEX New York Mercantile Exchange,
right.
or something like that.
Right.
Okay, but those are the only two markets that allow, that have oil futures traded mm-hmm. on them.
Oh, right.
I figured it. So, anyhow, all of that exchange is occurs in U.S. dollars. So you have reserve currency in literally trillions and trillions of dollars mm-hmm. all over the world that they have to maintain in order to do these oil exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
And Iran and Russia and yeah. even I heard something about Venezuela are opening up these bourses, alternate oil.
Yeah, and the goal, of course, whether it's intended or unintended, is to collapse the U.S. dollar, which will be literally hell on earth. Steve, I got to leave it there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. We'll talk again. Take care.
Okay, thanks
for participating in the program tonight and all this week, folks. I do appreciate it. I'll see you Monday night, all right? Take care. Watch your back. This is Air America Radio. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for the Forward. That's 800-641-2626.